Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. We have a guest who was on this program many years ago. His name is Guy Marlette. He's a former deputy supervisor and councilman in the town of Amherst, former president of the Rotary Club. In his real life, he's employed with Alternative Information Systems, vice president, chief operating officer since 1991. Service operations and human resources, corporate project manager. Also from 85 to 91, he was with VGC Corporation as general manager, director of service operations. He's a very gifted man. He's a very good strategist in the community to get things done. And I've been very impressed with his leadership capability. Guy R. Marlette, our guest on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Let's first talk about the accomplishments in office. You were deputy supervisor for 6 years from 2009 to 2015 and a council member for 8 years from 2007 to 2015. What were your greatest accomplishments, Guy Marlette?
Well, Brian, first of all, thanks for allowing me to come back on your show. I know it's been a few years, but I always enjoy listening to you. You know, as deputy supervisor or just really a council member in the town of Amherst, I think one of the first things that we always wanted to do was to make sure that, you know, we listened to what the residents said and then wanted to react in an appropriate fashion. So, you know, one of the things that we did that I'm actually pretty proud of is the Amherst Veterans Park over in the Amherst State Park. That was a project that was put forward because, you know, veterans had a park out by Tonawanda Creek Road. And it was really so far outside of the central portion of Amherst that it really wasn't utilized a lot. And it kind of became a storage for highway and parks equipment and things. So we thought that centralizing this, the Veterans Park in Amherst State Park, which is very central, it's in the village of Williamsville, would allow all people, not just, you know, active veterans or retired, but allow their families and stuff to come. And it's a beautiful thing. We put a water feature there. There's a wall that they can have their names inscribed onto it for loved ones. And I think it's worked out really well, and it also drove additional improvements at Amherst State Park. You know, then we did things that I guess are kind of intangibles in a sense, such as the consolidation of the town sewer district to spread that cost evenly across all residents so that the older parts of town weren't paying a higher rate just because they're the older part. You know, everybody says that you have to have equalization across the community, and we believe that. You know, what we do anywhere in the town as far as infrastructure is a benefit to everybody. You know, we looked at a number of things. One of the things that I think myself and Supervisor Weinstein were very proud of is the fact that we're able to stabilize taxes, control spending, and look at ways to cut costs without reducing services. One of those was the merger of the youth and recreation departments, which saved us probably about, I'm going to say about $250,000 or so a year in salaries, but we were actually able to improve the services and the programming for the people of Amherst, all the residents and the taxpayers alike. So we're, you know, we're always focused on the youth and the family and actually good practical management of the town.
Very good. Very optimistic picture. You worked very hard. And one thing that particularly the seniors gave credit to you and Dr. Weinstein was no tax increase for 8 years. Well, we certainly don't see that today, but we'll go into that later. Let's talk about your dreams for Amherst for the next generation in the coming years, 10, 20 years. What's your vision for the town of Amherst, Guy Marlette?
Well, I have to say, I love this town. We've lived here a long time. We raised our kids here. And I think the biggest thing that myself or any other grandparent or parent would want is that the town stays affordable for, so that they can, you know, live here, basically. But more importantly, that it's affordable for their kids and their kids' kids, you know, the next generation that are coming online. We want them to stay in Amherst. We want it to be affordable. And at the same time, we want to ensure that all of our services, whether they're infrastructure, youth and family, fire, police, that all of those things become available and they stay at the top quality that they could possibly be. But we want accountability for every tax dollar that's collected, and we want accountability for every tax dollar that is spent. And so our thing is, I think that we want to ensure that Amherst doesn't become a metropolis, but at the same time, that it is truly sustainable without excessive spending and without excessive taxes.
Very good. Now, you were at a press conference a couple days ago, and one thing that you and other civic leaders regarding parks and golf courses and proposed changes, one thing that you and others mentioned, and you spoke at the end of this press conference in front of Amherst Town Hall, it was about transparency, and so everybody sees exactly what is going on, and there are certain feelings of people in the town that things are being hidden and not being presented in the public eye to the residents. You were in office for 8 years. You were deputy supervisor for many of those years. Let's talk about transparency. Why is this important?
Absolutely.
To be honest with the taxpayer?
Well, I got to tell you, my first year in office was the largest, most controversial vote in the town up to that point, which was the rezoning of the gun club project. We spent an enormous amount of time ensuring that the residents had a voice into how things should look, what concerns they have as far as traffic. We probably did, I'm going to say, at least five or six different iterations of how we would, you know, look to the developer to not only what they were putting in there, but truly the look and feel of what they were putting in there. You know, we didn't want a nice facade and then have a cinder block building in the back. We also wanted to ensure that we weren't encroaching upon our recreation space. So to ensure that, you know, every time that we had a discussion and changes were made or, you know, we were reacting to suggestions from residents of how to change it, those were incorporated into, you know, drawings and vision type plans. But then we would always present those back to the public in an informational session. And as each time these things changed, we would do a new information system because as you make changes, people's, you know, needs are, and quite frankly, people that weren't able to attend another meeting have an opportunity to voice their opinion again. We also did this in public. And I got to tell you, I don't see the pandemic as an excuse on decisions large and broad that you just get to make those over a Zoom call. I mean, quite frankly, on a decision like, let's say, the Westwood, which is a game changer for the town of Amherst, you really need to have that public input face-to-face, and you really need to understand what their concerns are. And every time there's a change to the plan, it should go back to the residents so that they understand what's going on. The residents that I spoke to are concerned that, A, there's no face-to-face voting going on for the past year almost, and two, they want to have a voice. They want to see what they're actually, or what the town board is actually voting on. You know, I watched that meeting Monday night. The current supervisor did a nice job of explaining everything on his resolution that was not written on the resolution, but it's kind of inferred, I guess, is the way that...
I don't understand that. If it's not written on a resolution, then what relevance does it have? The resolution is basically a law. It's a contract. It's binding. So why does someone talk about things that aren't written in there to infer?
Well,
it doesn't make sense to me.
Right, and that's my comment where I said it's sketchy. A resolution should have especially on important things such as taxes and how you're financing. There should be very good detail, and I think also there should be a financial analysis associated with it so that people can understand and see it. And, you know, Barry and I used to always go by the old adage, if it is not written in the resolution, it is not part of the resolution.
Right.
The second thing that I found disturbing was there was very little debate by the town board, either for or against. Or, you know, we used to always have constant debates, and if we were going to vote on something that we felt was controversial, our board members would really go through and explain why they were voting for or against it. And I think the public deserves it. They need to understand, you know, why their representatives are voting a certain way. All of these guys, you know, all politicians, when they campaign, they say we are going to put the residents first. We are representing you. Yet when there is no debate and it's a quick vote and they move on and a language and a resolution is somewhat lacking in detail, they are not fulfilling their promise.
Very interesting. We're learning a great deal from a very dedicated public servant, Guy Marlette. He was deputy supervisor of the town of Amherst from 2009 to 2015 and an Amherst councilman from 2007 to 2015. If you're listening in Amherst, Toronto, or Manhattan, drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. The station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand with our 50,000 watts of clear channel power. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Amherst, New York, 14226. And we always greet cards and letters from Canadian and European listeners. A little plug here, ESPN 1520 is streaming. You can listen live by going to our website, ESPN1520.com, and clicking on the radio.com or listen tab. And Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPO Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPO Legal. The AMPO Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. I'd like to thank those who called regarding our recent guests, Amherst Chamber of Commerce President A.J. Baines, Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, and newly elected State Senator Ed Rath. Coming up, we'll have Minority Leader of the State Senate Rob Ort, Charlie Joyce, National Republican Committeeman, and former New York State Republican Chair Ed Cox. A little more information about Guy Marlette. He was very active with my club, Amherst South Rotary Club, as a member since 2006, board member 2009 to 2013. He was the president for 2 years, from 2010 to 2012, and a Paul Harris Fellow in 2013. And the next two items, I'm confused because I thought you had to be a woman to be in Zonta. And he was a member for the last 4 years and on the UN committee for the last year. Now, how, Guy, did you become a member of Zonta? I thought it was a woman's group.
Well, I mean, it was primarily started as a woman's group, just like Rotary was really started as a men's group.
Okay.
And as times change and people's minds become more open and things, you know, Rotary started to let females into the club. At the same time, Zonta, which really was started in Buffalo/Amherst, was very active. And I was asked by a friend if I would be interested in joining. And I said the same thing that you did. I said, well, you know, obviously I'm not a woman. She says, no, we have men, a few men in Zonta. And I thought it would be a great opportunity for me, as a, you know, I'm married, I have two daughters, I have a couple of grandkids, to understand really things from the perspective of how women view those. You know, there are issues, and there is so much inequality, not necessarily as much in the United States, but, you know, internationally, that I think it becomes relevant to remind people of the role that they play, you know, in the world, in the nation, and also that there are things that, regardless of what, you know, your sexes, that you can do to help others. So So I enjoy it. I think they're very engaged. You know, I'm also a member of the Jolly Boys. I'm the vice chair. And, you know, they're really known for the parade on Main Street and the beer tent during Old Home Days. But, you know, they do so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
The money that they raise goes right back to the community, specifically focused on youth. And they probably donate around 60 plus per year out to these various groups, such as Children's Hospital or, you know, Kids Escaping Drugs. Whatever the case may be, I think that they're totally engaged. So I chose my civic duty really more along the lines of things that help give back to the community.
Wonderful. Well, that's a good answer. And I'm also an auxiliary member of the Amherst Republican Woman, and I'm a man. Okay, that's
fine.
There you go. Okay, let's talk back about government. And I'd like to talk about bidding of contracts. Now, you were mentioning about this Amherst Park proposal, this resolution that was passed unanimously with very, very little discussion. I watched it on the Amherst town website for the meeting, and I heard one councilwoman make a few minor comments, but the other councilman just sat there. About bidding of a big contracts. Now, we're talking about potentially the next 10 or 20 years. This could be a $90 million project. And my understanding always was in New York State, anything over $10,000 has to be bid. And I understand with the Erie County Water Authority, it's $5,000 amounts. I talked to former supervisor Barry Weinstein, and he thought that there's a real question of legality here of something of that magnitude not being bid out. Why wouldn't you let 10, 20, 50 developers who want the rights for construction development at that park and Audubon for decades, why wouldn't you want bidding? Could you explain that to me?
Well, I think a municipality or any public entity always wants to bid to see, you know, not only what the best price is, right? They want to see what the entire vision for a particular parcel would be. And the concerns that I think a lot of people have is we're being told that, oh, this is part of it, but there's language in there that says that there could be future development, and we're guaranteeing management contracts. And at the end of the day, I'm not an attorney. It doesn't seem completely legal, but I don't know. But I think more importantly, there's some questions that kind of haven't been looked at or answered. If the town truly wants to provide a better golfing experience or Central Park, as the supervisor has talked about, the town could just make an offer to buy that property. It's only recently that they've both come to an agreement on what the appraised values of each parcel is. Westwood comes in at about $7.6 million. They could do a referendum and ask the public, should we make an offer to buy Westwood? But when we start trying to do these land swap deals, a lot of the openness and transparency starts to slip away. My feeling is, I think that the town, if it's truly going to be, you know, acquiring Westwood, the town should be in control of its destiny as it relates to Audubon. Audubon today really is a very large swath of land that kind of we've always had the vision as being our recreational center in the heart of Amherst. But over the course of the year, we've seen that being chipped away and chipped away, and it continues to. So, you know, we put a hotel up, we put medical offices up, we took out diamonds that were dedicated to individuals in Amherst that had a great sports legacy and took them down without a second thought. I mean, at some point, we can't say that we love green space and we want to make sure that our recreation services for families exist, and at the same time, we continue to encroach business development on those recreation areas. So I think, you know, everybody should just take a pause, a deep breath, and let's start the conversation of the vision and how the town can control it versus an outside entity controlling that vision.
Very good. For those who have just tuned in, we're speaking with a bright, dynamic leader from the town of Amherst, a leader who has been active in government with the Rotary Club, with the Jolly Boys, Guy Marlette, former deputy supervisor. If you're listening in Williamsville, Montreal, or northern Florida, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. Guy Marlette has been active with the Amherst Youth Foundation. He's been on the advisory board for the last few years, a member from 2005 to 2018, and president from 2005 to 2007. Also the Jolly Boys with Old Home Days. He was the vice chairman for the last few years and has been a board member since 2017, a man who's contributed a great deal of his time, effort, and talent to the town of Amherst. Now let's talk about senior citizens. My understanding is that there are many senior citizens who don't want to join a country club and plunk down $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 and pay $500 or $600 a month in dues. They like to go to the Audubon Golf Course, golf nine holes, have lunch in the clubhouse, then do another nine holes. Now there's a proposal from Supervisor Culpa to do away with nine holes in the middle of Amherst. There's talk about getting more holes of golf in north and northeast Amherst. But what about the seniors who paid taxes for 40, 50 years, and now they want to keep their 18 holes for exercise, especially with COVID? Exercise and being outdoors is so important. How do you feel about this idea to reduce the number of holes in central Amherst from 18 to 9?
Well, I don't like it. I mean, I'm a golfer. I belong to a private club, but, you know, that's not really relevant. And I probably should state at some point that I'm not running for any office. I'm a private citizen at this point. I've been out of politics for a while. But, you know, I think sometimes people forget that there are different demographics in our town. So we want to talk about seniors, and I think the seniors deserve the respect that they're due, right? So, you know, we have really three courses. We have the par three course, the 18-hole Audubon, and the 9-hole Oakwood course. In each of those courses, we have put financial investments into things like drainage and infrastructure to ensure that those courses were playable and an enjoyable experience. Oakwood today is completely overgrown because they refused to open it up last year. Audubon is looking to get a new golf management contract. And actually signing a golf management contract and not understanding where they're going with golf seems odd to me. What is the future of the par three? I think a lot of young and a lot of old people enjoy that par three because it's quick, it doesn't require a lot, and a lot of them are able to walk it because it's fairly short. A town the size of Amherst has an 18-hole course. It should remain an 18-hole course. But when I hear talk of we're going to cut this down, we're going to find a place to build 18 more holes, you know, money counts. And I don't understand what the urgency is to remove an 18-hole course that exists without, you know, if we're going to buy Westwood and move the 18-hole course there, that's a solution. It doesn't necessarily mean that Audubon needs to be completely redeveloped. My concern is when you start chopping off two holes, you know, then three holes, and now nine holes, what happens if they do, in fact, build another nine-hole course? Now we're going to put more development on where the nine-hole course used to be. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. We specifically, Dr. Weinstein and I, put through the resolution for a recreational conservation zoning, which Westwood currently has. We did that to all the golf courses in the town because we are afraid of this type of thing where the course closes and they want to put in a massive development. And you know, that's what they do. So I don't begrudge them on that. But what I do begrudge the town board on is not looking at all the viable opportunities, not taking control of our own destiny, and instead it looks more like a developer is controlling our future destiny in that area. And I don't think that's right.
Let's talk about a public hearing. Now, Supervisor Culpa claims he's had all these public hearings, public meetings in the last 3 years. But now he's coming up with a concrete plan after having all these discussions. Wouldn't it make sense to have, perhaps because you're limited on space, to 100 people indoors, maybe have 5 public hearings throughout the town of Amherst so people can comment on the what they consider to be the final plan? It doesn't make sense to me to have all those public hearings on conjecture and a guessing game. Now when they have an a actual proposal, wouldn't it make sense now to have the public hearings and get public input? I'm puzzled.
So, you know, I can't speak for what their procedure is, but I can speak for what the procedure is that we would expect as a resident. And that is, they've done multiple informational sessions to, in a sense, get to this point. But we don't know that all the residents' input was used or rejected and why. So my preference would have been is when this, you know, latest resolution came up, that it was truly more succinct in the language, but also that they would have held at least a couple of informational sessions to get comments on where they were going at this particular point in time. I know that the supervisor said that they were not required to have a public hearing and residents can hop on to the online meeting and make their comments. That's not the same. There are a number of places in Amherst where you could hold an in-person work session, town board meeting, public hearing, informational system, provide proper distancing. But I honestly think that it's important when you have people in front of you, face to face, it allows you to listen more, it allows you to understand where they're coming from, and it certainly gives you that opportunity to answer back and have a conversation and a dialogue. And if you're going to vote on something this big, it should be in the public forum with people present.
We have a minute left on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Let's talk about taxes. You are very proud that you and Barry Weinstein had no tax increase for 8 years. Now they're looking at a $7 to $8 million deficit, a 7% proposed tax increase. How do you compare your record and the current record?
I can speak honestly about our record. We were always concerned about the cost, the long-term cost, the short-term cost, the effect that it would have on the residents. We weren't looking to just go crazy on development to cover up excessive spending. We were very, very cautious on hiring people because we know that, you know, a lot of times that position will never go away. But more importantly, we wanted to make sure that there was a balanced approach that we could provide all the services that we need and at the same time look at where we could get revenue streams or control costs. And I think we did a good job in that. You know, it's always the levy. It's always the rate. We've never hired a bunch of political appointees to fill positions that never existed before. And I think that's something that residents need to understand. And, you know, a lot of times, these positions, and they're very high-paid positions, could that money have been used for a better cause?
I'm sorry, we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned a great deal from a great leader of Amherst, both in government and with the Rotary Club and many other organizations. Guy R. Marlette, thank you for enlightening us. Thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the last 15 years. Thank you for teaching us so much about the town of Amherst, Guy Marlette. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.